podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
As you can probably tell, we're doing this on Zoom for the first time, so you have to bear with us with the sound audio. But we needed to get this done because I've been really looking forward to this. We have got Robin Deacon joining with us. Rocking Robin Deacon, how's it going? You all right?
Yeah, man. Good. You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. The we started as the Journeyman Stories podcast, and the epitome of a journeyman is yourself. And the brief conversations that we've had, I'm really looking forward to this. I think you're one of the only people that I've messaged that's called me a good geezer and a minge at the same time in the same sentence.
Well, say what you feel, right?
Yeah, of course. So I want to strip it all the way back. How did you... I know this obviously is going to be well documented. I've done a bit of research in and around it. But how did you start boxing?
I just did it really just to strengthen my legs after coming out of a wheelchair and stuff. I was on crutches and I was born with my feet back to front. So the doctor said I'd never be able to walk again. And I literally started taking little steps and started from there, really.
This, you was what, roughly about six when, and you had a load of operations when you were younger?
Yeah, I had operations all through my childhood. I mean, from the first time I was born, I literally had operations. I wasn't really in school. Because I had so much surgery. I did go to school, but not as much as I should have.
Yeah,
in surgery, you know?
Yeah, so sporadically, you was just in and out of school.
Yeah, basically, my second home was hospital.
Right.
I was in and out of hospital so much. And, you know, I even got chewed in the hospital sometimes because I was in there so much.
Right, and when, like, so you went down to the boxing gym, was you walking then, or was you in the wheelchair?
Yeah, I was sort of taking little steps, slow steps, and, you know what I mean, it was literally just strengthening my legs, you know. I didn't have to, when I was born, the doctors thought I was had muscular dystrophy.
Okay.
Because it's what my mum's brother died of, and that's, I had a little, they thought I had a little doses of that, but it turned out to be club feet talipes. So, yeah.
You get into it, and, how are you finding, like, the start of boxing? Because for, like, people like, say, me and Sam, I can imagine we'll go to a gym. Some things we'll struggle with, but just, like, the normal day-to-day stuff, you've got it. Your heel is a lot steeper than normal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's hard in everything you do in life, really. And it was like, this was just, I'd overcome so much to even be able to walk, let alone train and do stuff like normal people. So I just put my all into it. It was hard, tricky, but it was good. You know?
Yeah, and obviously to give you a bit of credit to get to where you've got to have as many fights as you've had as well, I can imagine you can look back at your career and actually think, fucking hell, like this is... You can inspire other people as well.
Yeah, like, obviously, I can't really say that, you know, inspire other people. I mean, I can inspire other people to say if you're told you couldn't do stuff, prove them wrong and do it, you know. But, you know, I wasn't a champion or anything, which I really wanted to be. I'd give my heart and my soul into boxing as an amateur. turning professional, I'd just turn out and be shit, like your wallpaper.
My missus picked this wallpaper. To be fair, you're talking to two lads who've done the journeyman scene in the unlicensed, so I weren't good enough to get to a pro. And I know, Sam, you signed a pro contract, but family life gets in the way. So we sort of understand the ins and outs of boxing. Come to, like, your first fight then. How old was you when you had your first, like, amateur?
I was 10. I mean, I don't know what the age is limit now, but when I boxed at 10, I'm in an argument whether they're going to do a 10 or 11. And I did 10, had my first fight, and then they changed it to 11. So I couldn't fight until I was 11 then, but I had my first amateur fight at 10 against a guy called Craig Clark, and he was from Crawley. He never went pro or nothing, but he was good. He was an okay amateur. I lost to him in my first amateur fight, and then I beat him in a return when I was 11. So,
did you have any difficulties getting carded through the health conditions and stuff, or was it just a case of?
I didn't really tell the medical people. Do you know what I mean? I didn't really say, "Oh, yeah, wrong with this," because I was a good amateur, shall I say. I've got away with it, really.
Yeah,
I personally don't think if I wanted to turn pro or amateur now, I don't think I'd be able to be fair, because they'd look more into it.
Yeah.
Back then, they didn't look into it more, you know?
So, more.
So, I got away with it because there wasn't sort of on board, if you like, you know? I don't know. But, yeah, they could. Didn't
really
look into it much.
So you had obviously your first couple of fights. When did you? Because you went into the schoolboys and then the ABAs.
Yeah, I got in the schoolboys. I used to get quite a few buys in like the minor championships and stuff like that. And I only boxed once in the minor championships. I won the minors in the school. Schoolboys a few times, but obviously I got a buy all the way through to the final and stuff like that. I was one of the finals, and then it wasn't until I was about, I'd say probably 17, 18, where I got to the NABC. I think it was 17, no, I think I was 15. NABCs, and I lost to a guy called Todd Mills. He never went pro, but he was a St. Mary's Boxing Club. He was a tough kid.
St. Mary's and Chatham?
Huh?
Was that St. Mary's Chatham?
Yeah.
Yeah, down where we are.
And, he's a good kid. Very good. He done really well as an amateur. I lost to him. Still speak to him now, he's on my Facebook. He's a nice kid. Very strong. And he stopped me. Stopped me in the first round, I think. Put me on my arse. I was gone. Out. Weren't out, but I was gone.
So you're doing the championships now. You ended up, so that was the final. I think you had a couple of semi-finals and stuff like that. Did you do anything like the Harrogate Cup or anything?
No, I don't think that was about. But I did the ABAs.
Yeah.
And I went to national semi-finals, the ABAs, losing to Gary Sykes, who actually become British champion.
Yeah.
As a pro, and he beat Andy Crawler twice, I think.
And what weight was you fighting at when you was younger?
Featherweight, well, 57 kilos.
So
that was the ABA 57, yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably because I think 57 kilos probably be a hard weight to match up as well.
Yeah. But I didn't get, like, actually boxing in the ABAs to actually reach the national semi-final. So I actually actually done good in the box game. So listen, he's a legend. He's a geezer, proper nice guy as well. And you know, he was number one in England when I boxed him. So yeah, to get that, I was like blessed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, wicked.
Did you have any like England or was it? Did you have any area?
I boxed representing England, but not the real England. It was in the Limassol Cup in Cyprus. I boxed in Limassol Cup and I boxed a guy. I don't even know what he does now. I don't think he went pro. Name Michael Blackburn. He's from Scotland. I boxed him and I lost to him in there. I got a bronze medal, so I lost to him in there. Quarterfinal?
Yeah, with coach, yeah. Whilst you're doing all of this, are you still having any like health issues now, or you're talking?
Yeah, I'm going back into surgery. I'm just waiting on them to get back to me when to go in. You know, so I'm suffering more now with my legs than I ever have.
Right, okay.
Because obviously I'm getting older, and the wear and tear has obviously got worse. But you know, I'm getting by. I'm coping. Yeah. You know? I limp a lot more than what I was.
When you was your teenage years, whilst you were boxing, did you have health conditions? Like, was you having any issues then, or was it the fact you've done all the work to strengthen?
I always had issues, which is why everyone said to me, because as an amateur, I used to be in and out, boxing in and out, using my feet.
Mm.
As time got on, I couldn't do that. I couldn't go in and out. I couldn't do what I did as an amateur because I didn't have the leg movement. I didn't, you know, because they see, especially in the cold weather, they seize up and it's, I walk like an absolute flid. You know what I mean? And, like, it's bad. So, you know, as an amateur, because I was young, you know, and you sort of get through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How many fights did you have in the end as an amateur?
I think I had 66, and I won either 56. No, as an amateur.
Yeah, as an amateur. Yeah.
Sorry, 77. I won 46.
So you had, and amateurs, for people that like, because it is literally matched fairly, it's all 50-50 fights. Yeah. So having an over, especially I think back in the day as well, having an over 50% record is still really good. And I think people.
Yeah, I mean, and people only, you know, boxing's a bit like, it's glorified sport, if you like. Full of glory on it. Mm. You know, look at Tyson Fury the weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They only know this. They only pick on the bad that you do be. You know, he's the greatest. You know, it doesn't matter how shit he boxed or how he only just won and stuff like that. At the end of the day, he still won. And people don't look at that. They look at the bad and all the negative. You know what I mean? They need to realise that. It's not easy getting in there in front of millions of people and fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not easy. You know, you have to, you know, the nerves and all that takes a lot of energy out of you, especially when you're on the big scene like that, you know. Don't get me wrong, I've been on a big scene in front of thousands of people at the O2, but nothing like what Tyson, and listen, he's earned his money, so people just look at the negative. They don't take any positive from the negative. Do you know what I mean?
But I find especially with what you're saying, I find people find it easy to, are easier to talk, like speak about it when they haven't walked through them ropes and done the things that other people have done.
Armchair boxers.
Yeah.
Armchair boxers. Literally, they're just like, yeah, I could do that easy. I mean, you're still just like, you know, don't get me wrong, I would fight again. And I'll only fight if I find that misfits.
With that, how did it come about to then turn professional? So you've had a good amateur career.
It was mad, really, because I boxed a guy called Ben Murray. Ben Murray. And Jersey. And the special guest was Steve Collins. And you're never going to win. I don't know if Sam knows this, but when you box in Jersey, you're never going to get a win. But it doesn't matter how much, unless you knock them out. You probably, even then, you still get a draw. It's a cliche saying, knock them out to get a draw. You
know we've mean? Been there, done
it's,
that.
Oh, mate, it's mad. So, anyway, I thought, fuck it. Do you know, Steve Collins here, I'm just going to mug him off. But mug off Ben. So I was posing to the crowd, and dropping my hands, blowing him kisses. I even blew kisses at his girlfriend just to wind him up. I mugged him off, and Steve Collins come up to me after. He said, I've never seen an amateur boxer move the way you do, like, with your head and stuff. And he said, here's my number. Keep in touch and see how you do, and we go from there. I didn't think nothing of it. And then, like, I texted him randomly about a week later. I said, what's happening, Steve? You good? He said, yeah, Robin, what's happening? And he even remembered me. He still remembers me now. And I said, oh, I'm going to Cyprus, representing England, but not with the actual England team, boxing the Limassol Cup. And he said, well, when you get back, let me know how you do, and we'll chat. So I went out there, and I'll come back with a bronze medal. Text him, he said, hey, Steve, we've got a bronze medal. He said, no way. He said, well done. He said, meet me at St. Albans train station and I'll get you a deal with Frank Ryan. So I met him at St. Albans and he got me a deal with Frank.
Oh, what? So, go on.
So I actually saw him with Frank Warren. And, so I got a deal with Frank Warren. I had signed a 3-year deal. After two fights, I left him.
Right. So you had your first fight at York Hall. Your first win. So was your plans then to be a ticket seller?
No, but my first fight, I sold, like, I think it was about 200 tickets. The second fight, I sold 500 tickets. And I was at the XL Arena in Docklands. And I boxed on the undercard of Michael Scott and Audie Allison. When Michael Scott knocked him out, I was on the undercard. And I lost to a guy called Ron Corkless. And a week after boxing me, Ron went and boxed a guy called Ben Jones, who was my rivalry in as an amateur, because we were the same club, but he was always Ben this, Ben that. You know, Ben's a nice kid, but he was always, he's a blue-eyed boy. So I thought, fuck. I ended up boxing Ben, actually, a year before I turned pro. And he, obviously, after I boxed, before I boxed Gary Sykes. Yeah. Now, after I boxed Gary Sykes in the ABAs, I can't remember where it was, but I boxed someone in the ABAs and I won. And me and Ben were in the same weight. And Ben was obviously in my club. And if I'd won and Ben won, we'd have to box each other in the Southern Counties final. So, yeah, I ended up boxing Ben in the Southern County final. And he beat me on points. I can't remember the fight, to be fair, but I think it was closer than what they had it. I even think I nicked it. I'm not too sure. So, anyway, yeah, that was that. And I lost to Ben. I thought, fuck it, I'll go pro. Then I didn't turn pro. I thought, fuck it, I have one more. And I boxed a guy called, from Golden Ring, called Adam Cutler. And I remember I watched the video. I ain't got the video now, but I had, the video. And I remember Ian Weaver, Tony Hill, and all them were saying, oh, yeah, he tried to go pro with Frank Maloney, and Frank Maloney turned him down, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, fuck this. Anyway, but they all, like, saying stuff when I was walking around the hall and stuff like that, and saying, fuck. And Adam Cutler, he wasn't a mug, mate. He boxed for England. He was a good kid. I ended up knocking him clean out in the second round. Clean out. He was out cold. And I shocked everyone. I mean, he was out. And he follows me on Instagram and he tells you the same thing. He was out cold. And I thought, yeah, fucking have that.
Is that?
Anyway, after that, I went back to Steve and I said, look, Sam, I'm ready to go pro. I said, I'm fucking had enough. And yeah, that's when I met him. In St. Albans. It all comes back to me now. I've been punched him. That's when I met him at St. Albans and we're in Frank Ryan's office. That's what I do with Frank.
Is that that fight was just a big fuck you to everyone that was doubting you as well?
Yeah, it was like, you know, listen, I've been through so much in school, my health. I've been through so much. I thought, ah, fuck this. Do you know what I mean? What I've got to lose? Listen, everyone takes chances in life, and I chose to take my chance and took my chance, and I got it. Mm. You know what I mean? There's not many fighters in the southern area, Canada, in the southern area that actually got signed by big promoters, other than me, Ross Minter. That was it. Me and I think Ben Jones went with Barry Hearn and left Barry Hearn after a fight because he wasn't getting fights. But yeah, it was only me and Ross Minter that ever got a big deal with Frank Warren.
So you fought Sean Morton?
No, I was just going to say, and you know, not coming all the way with any national titles.
Mm.
You know, Frank Warren paid me more than people that had won Commonwealth Games. I'm not going to name who, but who had won Commonwealth Games gold medals. You know what I mean? I got paid more than them because Frank, Steve took me up there and he had a lot of time and respect for Steve. So he took Steve's word and I ended up mugging Steve off by fucking leaving Frank and being a fucking bum.
So you fought Sean Morton, then you fought Kruklis. What happened to you leaving Frank Warren then? Why did you end up leaving him?
Because I knew, every promoter, everyone wants winners. So I was a fucking loser, so I knew I'd be put on the back seat. So when I lost my second pro fight, I thought, fuck this. So I left and phoned Dean Power and I said, Dean, get my contract back, mate. I'm going to do my own route. And Graham L had just boxed the Australian Michael Katsidis. That was the undercard I lost to Roman. And Graham had a big name. And I was like, fuck this, I'll go with Graham L. So I went with Graham L and he managed me and got me fights. And I went to America. When I left Frank Warren, Graham L sent me to America. So I was going to sign with Lou Duva. But they wanted me to live out there. And I was young. I had a lot of publicity around me. I was young. Yeah, I just wanted to go out there and just go come back home. And, you know, I went out there and trained with a guy called Gus Curran. He's a good American trainer. He helped with Pernell Whitaker. He helped do bits with Pernell Whitaker and stuff like that. So, But I wanted to come home now. I was homesick. I was young, when I was 21. Homesick. And, yeah, I fucked up. Come home. And I just... Then I come home and Graham and goes to me. He goes, got you a fight. And I can't remember. What is someone back with? I got you a fight. I said, yeah, go on, I'll take it. So I took it. And, you know, just started being a journeyman, started being a bum. So I'm not training, just taking fights week in, week out, and just losing.
When was that decided then for you to become a journeyman? Was that just as you...
It wasn't really decided. I just kept getting off of fights and, listen, money pays bills and money fed my habit. I had a gambling habit. Money fed my habit.
So right.
I was fucking paid on a Friday or a Saturday for my fight. Be skinned by Monday, be fine again the week after, so I wouldn't give a fuck.
You're fighting sort of week in, week out, like Eddie Harlan, Ricky Owen, Vinnie Mitchell, Steve Geffen, quite early on. And then just like, yeah, as you're going through, is it just literally now you've just got into that habit of becoming a journeyman?
Yeah, it was a habit. It was like easy come, easy go. Do you know what I mean? The money I was getting off to fight these people like Stephen Smith, Andy Crawler, Vinnie Mitchell. I believe I beat Vinnie Mitchell the first time. Second time he beat me, but first time I dropped him and I lost by a point. That was live on Santana Sport. I don't believe I lost that. I believe I lost the second one. But first one, I definitely beat him. And everyone who watched that fight on TV said, no way you lost that fight. But yeah, you know, that's in the past now. It's dumb. But yeah, it was just, the money was easy come, easy go. You know, I was getting paid good money to go in there every week in, week out. And fed my habit. Fed my gambling habit. And I thought, yeah, fuck that. Let's do this.
And saying about the gambling side of it, it's more prominent now that you're seeing more and more people obviously talk about it, like yourself, sort of like a silent, because people are like, well, you can just stop. But it's not as easy as that, is it?
No, it's like mental health, really, isn't it? Gambling is an addiction. Thank you, darling. Got me McDonald's. Well, my daughter got me McDonald's. That's how fat I am now. I just, eat shit.
Are you, I know you said, are you training for any of these fights? Or is it just a fact of you just getting a call and thinking, fuck it, I'm going to jump in?
Well, I didn't train for any of them, really, because I was fighting week in, week out, and I was fit enough to get through it anyway. Four round fights, so I was fit enough to get through it. So I didn't bother training because I'd fight on Friday and Saturday. By Sunday, Monday, I'd get a call. Robin, do you want to fight on Saturday? I'd be like, yeah, sweet. So I'd go for my little run, have a kebab or something, go for my little run, and then, then fight.
Do you fought Steve Smith as well? That I've noticed.
Boxing Smith in Liverpool in Everton Park. It was on the undercard of Tony O'Keefe versus Nathan Cleverley.
Okay. And then you just carried on like throughout the years, just kept fighting, and then you fought up, so you've gone through, obviously, 2008 up until around 2013, and then you had your sort of second win against Dennis Chronolis? if I'm getting that right.
Kornilov.
Yeah.
Dennis Kornilov, yeah. That was on a German license.
You lost your license, didn't you?
Yeah, I lost my license. The board said, "Oh, I'm taking so much punishment, and I'm not being a journeyman. You have to be a journeyman." I said, "Well, I'm not just going to stand there and let some cunt beat the shit out of me. I'm going to throw punches back." So, I said, "No, I'll do it my way, and that's that." So with that, Robert Smith said, "We're going to take your license." I said, "Fucking have it then." So I walked out through glass of water over the table. Mickey Elliott was there because he was my manager at the time. I said to Mickey Elliott, "You fucking ginger, lanky cunt." I went mad at him. Threw water all over the table and said, "Fuck this." And then, I ended up doing stuff my own way. Beat that Dennis Kornilov, and I sort of made worldwide press. I had Floyd Mayweather, Mike Tyson share my story about my disability and stuff like that. And then I thought, fuck it, I need to fight you. So I flew out of Spain, went to the border in Spain, got a Spanish license, and boxed Alan Floyd, whatever his name is, and another geezer. They beat me. I didn't train for them. I just flew out of Spain. No trainer, no manager. Boxed the best kids out there and then fucking got beat. And then fuck this. I'm calling it a day because of money and shit.
So, I want to ask you about the tag that's obviously been put on you as well, being classed as Britain's worst boxer.
Right. I'll clear that up. Dane never put a tag on me. I put the tag on myself.
Right, okay.
Because what it is, you're either the best or the worst, right? You're never going to get remembered by being even in the middle.
Right.
Yeah? So I knew I wasn't the best. Far from it. So I said, fuck it, I'll be the worst. So I then said, I'm doing the worst boxer, and why? I had a story in the Sun or the Daily Mail, and it just went viral from there, mate. Yeah.
And the you're saying about you wanted to be a journeyman your way, and obviously sometimes the journeymen turn up to not get stopped. Was it the fact that you'd turn up to win?
Yeah, I would never go into a fight thinking I'm going to lose, even though I knew in my head I was going to lose. I wanted the fans to have a hat to watch a fight. So, when I first turned pro, the journeyman chance around the ring doing fuck all, throwing no punches, nothing. And I thought, fuck that, I'm going to go and fucking have wars. So that's what I did.
And, because you've picked the hardest sport. With, like you're saying, the health conditions that you've got, you've picked the hardest journey as well to get in there and fight. I know, continuously, obviously, there's background into why you've done it as well. I can imagine.
I got bullied in school. I never have friends at school. It's mad. People think I go for this, but it's true. I was a fucking loner at school. And the only reason I'd have friends is because we used to play football and stuff. Like, this is secondary school. We used to play football. And I used to have to bring a football in every day. Otherwise, I'd have no one to play with. I used to be on my own. And it sounds sad, but it's true. So it's my way of buying friends by bringing a ball in so they can play football because they'd be nice to me during the day. I used to get picked on every day, getting called a cripple. There's one geezer called Daniel Bowling. I'm gay if I name it means you can't. He's a big bully boy. He's walking around school like a fucking shirt and stuff. And I remember I was in front of him one time, and he's behind me, and he's kicking the back of my legs. And obviously, I was like, wow, it wasn't when I just had an operation, but my legs are sore. He's kicking the back of my legs. So I said, do that again, mate. I'm going to fucking chin you. And I had already started making a sort of name. People knew I'd started boxing and whatever. And I walloped him. Whack. Now, I'd never been switching the story a little bit. I'd never been abroad before as a kid. And I was due to go to France with the school. I was really looking forward to it. Down in the little bit. I chinned him. I knocked him out cold. And I said, yeah, I bet you. Fucker. And they stopped me from going to France. I was like, you wankers. And I cried my eyes out, like a little bitch. Cried my eyes out. But yeah, that was that. You know what I mean? So I got a bit of a cold.
That's all right. Ah, that's, so reflecting on your career, because your long career, considering from where you've come from, who's the best person that you've I'll go amateur, then I'll go pro. Who's the best amateur person that you jumped in the ring with?
Pod Mills and Gary Sykes.
What about pro?
I've always said Andy Crawler. But maybe that's because he became a world champion. But listen, the hardest puncher was Stephen Smith. And I say, the skillful wise, Crawler and Smith, and Ricky Owen, he was good.
Mm. What about like venue wise? What would have been the best venue you went that you was at?
Well, I boxed the O2 Arena on the undercard of David A versus Enzo McAnally. I boxed Ryan Walsh, you know, the Walsh brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I was in front of 15,000 people at the O2 Arena just before David A and Enzo come on. I boxed Ryan Walsh. I was getting booed coming in, booed, like, because I had a big following. And I know, it was amazing. But I boxed the O2 a few times, but I say the MEN Arena, I think, is the M.
Yeah, the up in Manchester.
Yeah, it's something else now, but that was good. And that was good when I boxed Crawler.
Mm.
On the undercard of David, Amir Khan and Bravest Prescott.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know the thing. So you've retired now, then you get yourself into bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, I got a phone call saying, do you want to do bare knuckle? I said, yeah, well, how much? Straight away.
She's just like, give me the price.
Yeah. I don't care what I do, mate. I'll fight any cunt. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what I do. They come to me and they said, do you want to do bare knuckle? I said, yeah, sweet. How much? What are you offering? Now, for me, silly at first. They even offered me like a grand. I said, no, fuck that. I ain't doing a grand. I'll fight anyone for a grand, but not bare knuckle. So, $2,500 I got for my first bare knuckle fight. Well, yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Pay me cash. I'm sweet. Done it again. Give me $1,500. Done it again. Give me a grand. I thought, okay. It's getting down.
It's
down,
going down, yeah.
But yeah, nah, for yeah, fuck that. But anyone on the street by now, I'm there.
I was going to come on to this anyway. So we got introduced via, I'll give a shout out to Dan Woodgate. He sponsors the podcast. And I was going to say, you've absolutely, so. As he's given me your number, and I want to just, because I want to say as we've spoke, he's given me your number, and I've messaged you, you've called me, and then you said about Dan, obviously, saying that I owe you a grand, and you've absolutely fucking had me, and so has him as well.
Wow,
mate, honestly, I shit myself because I was like, what the fuck has he done to me? So I thank you to Dan and
listen, it's weird, right? I fucking hated Dan, hated him, right? I can't remember how I started. We had a little tough he might remind you, I can't remember, but he was training with Michael Aldis. And had no saying about, I think we were going to have a show in Crawley. And saying there were tickets or something. And then he started getting all lemon on the phone. So I said, mate, who the fuck are you talking to? I said, I ain't a dib. I might lose players, but listen, I ain't a dib. I'll come down there and rip your fucking voice box out. He said, right, where are you? Where? I said, I'm here. I'm in Crawley in the gym. Come on. But, mate, he is the loveliest guy ever. Loveliest guy.
I think it's because you'd be calling people or counting and then be like, you're all right, mate, after.
Yeah.
Looking back at your career now, are you happy with the way that it's gone?
Yeah, listen, I've got my fiance. And, I was worried, if you like, because the boxing was my sort of tool. Everyone knew, Robin Deakin is the boxer, he's good looking, but and all this. And I always used to play girls. girls, right? And then, when I come back from Spain, having my fights in Spain, I thought, fuck, I need to get a job. So I got a job of being a fishmonger in London. Peter McDonald actually got me that job. And then I ended up leaving there after about 6 months. And I went to a place in Bournemouth, I think. So I was driving to Bournemouth and driving home. And then I went in one day and they laid me off. I thought, oh, fuck, you know. What am I going to do because of COVID, yeah? So I thought, I need a bird. I've just got my own place, so I need a bird. So I started adding loads of birds on Facebook. And I added my fiance. I thought, Jesus, so we can come out of that. I'll smash her. But don't tell her I said that. Anyway.
Do you want me to cut this out or what? Like?
No. Listen, I'll absolutely idolise her. I'd never disrespect her. I thought, fuck, I need a bunk up, right? So, I did, we started talking, as well as me talking to loads of other different girls, and I thought, anyway, text her, she didn't reply all day, and I thought, fuck this. She drove down to see me, but I didn't know. So luckily, I didn't have no one else in there. she drove down, and she went, I'm outside. Sorry, I haven't got back to you. I've been busy dealing with stuff. So she drove down and I opened my front door, mate. And I was like, oh my God, she's a fucking soul.
You're punching.
Like, proper punching, mate. Always punching. You know, ironically, eh? Always punching. She got out of the car and I'm like, mate, you're worth more than just that. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, just things went up from there. And obviously, I had my own place and I fucking got rid of that. And then I said, I'm moving in with you. She went, okay. So I moved in after about 4 months. Well, I come up here. After she come to me, and I moved up. We just started living with her after about 4 months.
So you're in Swansea now, aren't you?
Yeah, living in Swansea now. Been together now nearly 4 years.
That's good. I know we briefly touched on it. What we like to do with all our guests is basically create their perfect boxer through different attributes.
Yeah.
So if I said it could be past, present, if I said who's got the best footwork, past, present, who would you say?
Who's got the best footwork?
Yeah.
Robin Deakin.
I knew it
was going to come out of that. No one has got a better footwork than me, mate. No one's got club feet and can move like me. Oi, oi.
I'll give you another one that I think I know the answer. Who's got the best chin?
Definitely me, mate. Never been put out cold.
What about punch power?
Punch power? Fucking hell. Got to be me.
Is it? Oh, right there. Defensive work?
Fucking hell. Me again? Let's start that again, I'll be serious.
Nah, we'll go keep it, mate. I couldn't give a shit.
All right.
So we'll start again. Who, past president, has got the best footwork?
Robin Deakin.
What about boxing IQ? What's the wait for? What's the listen, thank you for joining us. It's all of them.
Who's got the best?
I've already asked you the best chin.
Who's got that?
You've told me you.
No, who's got the best chin?
You said you.
Yeah, but what do you think?
You're going to be a flat like, who do I think? It's not my episode, mate. It's your episode.
Oi. Definitely. Listen, you got to pray to yourself.
Yeah, of course.
I ain't got the hardest punching power, but listen, I'll take anyone's shot they throw on my chin, 100%.
Yeah, well, listen, with the career that you've had, I can imagine it's like I said, you've picked the hardest sport in the world and you've picked the hardest journey to do.
You're making me blush.
I've got to give credit where credit's due, purely the fact I don't believe there's enough people out there that give journeymen or boxers genuine credit. That I think because people are so easy to sit and like they've not stepped in the rope.
They're glorious, right? Listen, how many people used to wear Man City's football shirts? They didn't because it was always Man United. Now, how many people wear Man City shirts and you don't see them at Man United shirt? It's exactly the same thing with boxing, you know. Everyone loved Tyson Fury when he smashed Donald Wilder and, you know, now, because he had an off night at the office, they're all slaying him, saying he should quit, he should stop now, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're glory on
him. Anthony Joshua was before that as well, as I remember.
Oh, fuck Anthony Joshua, he's a prick. I'll bash him. Listen, he ain't got a chin. He ain't got chin, he gets smashed. You get wiped out, little mug. Robin Deakin would battle him. Nah, but listen, all honesty, it's been a pleasure meeting you, John, Sam, and you. You're an ugly cunt, but you know.
Nah.
It's all good, brother.
Cheers.
You've got your parents to blame for that, mate.
Cheers. Cheers, Robin. I'll close up the episode. If you like the episode, we are on all the socials, and Patreon, £3 a month. Cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.